each candidate gets a fair amount of time with the panel. So we often appealing to members of the panel to raise pointed questions so that the candidate is able to say your question was one, this two, this three. So we hope you will assist us in time management. I heard from the honorable panel members say time management is part of leadership. Earlier on, I think it was raised somewhere else. Yeah. So while honorable members are still sorting themselves out in terms of the questions they will put to you, I just in welcoming you to ask you to really briefly point to your life experience or education, whatever you has become part of your life history that you'll be bringing to the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members. Firstly, thank you for the opportunity for me to be here. Firstly, I would like to say that I am familiar with the SABC because in 1990 I was given a presenting position, and that was my entry and introduction to the SABC world. I've been presenting there from 1990 until 1997, three different magazine programs. And that was the time when South Africa was really fired up because we were preparing for the election. So whatever we did at the SABC had to take into consideration the current affairs and things of interest to the community. So when I left the SABC in 1995, I was given a position as a marketing and communications executive for the commercial radio station. And in that role, I managed to, my mandate was to showcase the 10 radio stations that were going to be sold, and we were looking for buyers. So my duty at the time was to make sure that I showcase the radio stations, market them in such a way that they can be sold. And I must say that in 1996, we did that successfully, and that's when I left the SABC because my previous company wanted me to come back as a business analyst. I must say that I've been in ICT for over 30 years, and I do have a BSc degree in mathematics, and figures for me have always been a fascination. And I worked for Ericsson, where I was a business development director, and I got introduced to the BEE. And I worked on the BE of the company. That's why in 2015, when we had the ICT Sector Council, I was actually appointed in the council, and we only had 1 month to present or to submit our alignment of the ICT Sector Code. And it was very hard. For my sins, I was chosen as the chairperson, and I must say that it was very, very hard, but we managed to have the code aligned in 1 month. That's the same challenge that the SABC is having today, where we need to be aligned with the DTT. By June this year is our second chance. We already passed the first deadline of June 2015. Now we need to, in 4 months' time, to have successfully implemented the DTT. And that is the challenge for me that is making it very attractive to join the group.
Well, thank you very much. At least it's not only the experience you are bringing, you have also analyzed where the entity is. Honorable members, the first honorable people.
Ma'am, with your experience in the commercial radios, would you say SABC radios are getting the necessary support or attention? The second one, the The second one, SABC Foundation, in your view, what is the mandate of the foundation? Is the SABC doing enough to execute that mandate, if not what?
Thank you for the question. I must say that on the commercial side, the SABC sold most of their commercial radio stations. If you remember, we used to have Highveld and Jacaranda and KFM. They were all sold in 1996. And the ones that are remaining now are very few, because we have the 5FM, we have the Radio 2000, and we have the Radio Metro. For me, to expect only those three to carry the SABC is actually unfortunate, because the commercial radio stations are supposed to bring money to the broadcaster. And unfortunately, I don't think they'll be able to carry the entire SABC.
Let's deal with the next one. For that.
However, in, with the foundation, for me, it depends on who runs the foundation and what the mandate is of the foundation, because it's very difficult to know what they are supposed to do with the SABC foundation. So depending on who is running it and what the mandate has been given, because when I started at the SABC, I was personally given a mandate, and my focus has always been to deliver on the mandate.
The unfunded public mandate. If appointed a board member, what is it that you can suggest to the board to deal with this particular issue? Because it seems to be one of the problems that is creating some financial challenges.
The unfunded public mandate, you say. Okay, as a broadcaster, and it is a public broadcaster, when you have a mandate of that nature, you do need to bring in a lot of partnerships. For instance, you have to look at your sponsorship, you have to look at advertising, and you have to look at also getting people to donate money to the SABC. Depending on the plan, because you have to have a plan of action on how you need to make it attractive to anybody that wants to fund it. I mean, we know that if soccer is well funded, it's because it brings the results that the public is looking for. And the same mind has to go to anything that runs at the SABC. If you want to get funding, you have to make it lucrative and attractive to whoever the funder is going to be. And if you want donations, you have to have something in return for the people who will be donating.
Okay. So there's no likelihood that the sponsors will end up capturing the SABC.
I'm not sure if sponsors can capture, because when you sponsor, the mandate is you give the money, you don't tell the SABC what to do or how to do it. Yours is to sponsor. You put the money to say, I'm giving you 5 billion rand. And no, it's a sponsor. That's why it's called a sponsor. So you can't expect to get anything for it. And if they do that, it means then the people that they are negotiating with are not right. They are corrupt.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Steady. Honorable Fandam.
Right. So you've got all the experience, the qualifications. What I'm looking for is new ideas, innovative ideas, fresh ideas, to the same old problems at the SABC, because we've been dealing with the same problems for a very long time. So if we were to put you onto the board, what new ideas would you come up with to increase the SABC's cash flow, to make sure that it can self-sustain, to increase advertising, any fresh ideas that you have, anything that isn't already on the table, any good ideas that you have that you can bring to the board?
Thank you. Chair, I think the way I look at it is ideas, for me, what works in another area, there has to be something that makes it work. And we've got competition right now. The SABC has great competition from MultiChoice. They've got competition from Netflix, from Showmax. Those are the ideas that we need to tap into, because I don't believe we need to do it all over again, but you should learn from other people's mistakes and also successes. So we need to have the brains around the table to come up with innovative ideas, as you put it, but it has to be ideas that go to hand in hand with the new generation, the fourth revolution, because the industrial revolution now is about technology, and technology is at the forefront. So if right now we're still looking at just getting money from the licenses, people with 10 television in the house have got one license. They comply, they've got one license, but you are actually missing 9 more payments. So that method doesn't work. We have to start finding out ways and means, because for them to have the 10 televisions, they must have bought them somewhere, and they must have produced the same license. So it has to be in such a way that we try to close the gaps. We've got loopholes in the system that is robbing the SABC of the license money. And also we've got loopholes where even the advertising money that used to make the SABC is going to other stations. So for me, that is what we need to do.
All right. One idea, you mentioned sort of the digital streaming space, the competition from Netflix, from Showmax. What idea, give me one idea that you think the SABC should implement, which would compete with Netflix and Showmax? How can the SABC go into the future? How does it need to transform as an organization in order to keep up with changes, in order to keep up with changing audiences and audiences who receive their entertainment through different means? Just one idea.
I need to think more about that. Can I come to you last? Because I need time to think. I mean, it's not something that would be easy for me to say right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. While you are planning to go back to this question, I had also been curious in terms of whether you've given a thought to the benefits of the convergence of broadcasting and the telephone in the era of the fourth industrial revolution, whether it could assist us with what we're struggling with, really, inclusion of vulnerable communities. So when you go back to the question, I'll be happy to help us with that. Honorable Kass.
Welcome, Mama. Justman, around the issue of bankruptcy of the SABC, what do you think about the funding model? What could be changed or what can be done? Because SAB has since been requesting funds. Do you think something is wrong about the funding model? And then two, you know, I am happy I'm part of government. Government is fighting corruption. So now, I just want to understand the corruption that we may get in the SABC. What could be your advice that it be fought? Lastly, it's around the issue of what do you think about the editorial challenges or problems that may be in the SABC? Do you think the SABC board must be involved in the editorial and the management of running of the things? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. On the funding model of the SABC, it is a public broadcaster. So there is funds that have to come from the government. But for me, it's more how those funds are utilized, and that's where the wastage comes in. With the little money that the SABC is making with the advertisements and some sponsorship, the way it is run, apparently, that's where the gap is. Because I do attend parties that are thrown by some executive members at the SABC, and the way things are splashed there, you can see that there's a lot of wastage. So I don't think the problem is more on the funding, but it's more on the utilization of the funds that they have. Because if you do get funding from the government for a public broadcaster, the way you spend that money, you have to take care of all the things before you can look at profitability. When it comes to the competition at the SABC, the corruption at the SABC, it speaks to that. I mean, there's a lot of loopholes. People are actually trying to make money by utilizing the public broadcaster's funding, and that is where the corruption is. So if the governance in the SABC and the finances or the management of the finances is solid, there shouldn't be any room for anyone to maneuver to try and do corrupt activities. So it all comes to the same. You have the funds, you're given by the government, you are a public broadcaster, use them wisely and use them very sparingly, no splashing. And then when it comes to the editorial challenges, we are supposed to guide, not to dictate. And for me, guiding means you have to have reasons why certain things should happen. And if you cannot convince the executive team at the SABC of your opinion and they don't take it, that is a problem. But guiding means we can give them guidelines on what should be broadcast and also allow them to use their own initiative to because we all want to make sure that South Africans get the correct information firsthand. So you can't interfere too much with editorial because that is now stifling the voice of the producers, of the journalists, and also of the station. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Josie.
Hi. What happened to Ericsson?
I left them in 2016, so your question is good as mine.
Yeah, but were you not responsible for operational solutions? I mean, what was your job?
I was a business development director.
So you're not doing solutions like IT?
We do.
No, your job. Because it 2016, you left them. They are still in South Africa.
Yes, they are.
What phones do they do now?
It's not phones. Okay.
It's what?
Ericsson is a network.
Operator.
If you remember, when Ericsson came into South Africa in 1994, there were no handsets, and they were coming in to make sure that there's a network for MTN. So that's why when they came in, they had to bring also phones so as to showcase how the network works. But in 2009, they sold the business to Sony, so it's just on network.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think your stuff is good here. But I do have to pose this question because for me, this might be the make or break. So there's a big problem of people who don't stay in the board of the SABC. So we are always here getting people to these committees life in this fifth democratic parliament has been to interview people. It's always doing interviews because people don't stay in the SABC. It's tough there. What do you think the problem is? Have you tried to say I think this is the problem, and if you've identified that problem, why do you think you will last?
Thank you, Honorable Duke. I must say that the exit of the board members at the SABC, I've just explained earlier that as a board, we are not here to dictate, but we guide. It's very disheartening and discouraging if, as a person with a know-how, you try to explain and show why things have to be done in a certain specific way, and people who are supposed to deliver just ignore the advice and carry on as business as usual. So I'm not sure why the previous board members left, because I wasn't part of the SABC. And I'm not saying that I will do a better job, but I must say that for me, before you leave, I always say, fail after trying. You must fail after trying. And it was the same approach with the ICC Sector Council, where we said we had 1 month. It's either we throw in the towel and let it be repealed, or we do some work and see if we can have it done. So for me, the approach should be, let's understand the situation at the SABC. What is the real problem? Because right now it's difficult for me to answer why, because I don't understand what they find. You don't do exit interviews because you would know why they leave if you were to exit interviews.
So we may, since you don't know, we may have a situation where you also find out and you go.
No, what I'm saying is exit interviews would be the way to find out why people leave.
So would your board go and ask, if we put you in the board, would you go ask previous members why they left?
For me, there are members that are currently in the board. And to go after people who have already left without saying what happened, it's not going to be easy.
Okay,
but I want to say that it's easier to find out internally what the challenges are and not wait until it's over.
I get you. State Information Technology Agency, non-executive director, what were you doing? What was your role? And just tell me a little bit about it.
At CETA, I was appointed in 2016 December as a board member, non-executive director, for the IT, because my background is IT. I've worked in IT all my life. So I was there as one of the people to assist the State Information Agency on IT solutions and also IT issues, try and solve them. And if you remember, currently they were looking at a reorganization of the whole CETA, and it's part of the input and guidance that we were providing them with, where now it's at a stage where it's implementation. So you know that CETA is the agency that is supposed to look after government departments when it comes to IT technology, and this is where my input was to say how we need to work with government on that, and also internally at CETA, how we need to structure the company in such a way that there's benefits for CETA and the government.
Is it possible that this institution could have told us about the IT problems of SAS or not?
It is possible.
Why didn't?
It is possible they could have. It depends on where was SARS working with CETA, because from what I know, they were not working with CETA.
Okay. No, thank you.
The system that they have in place is not from CETA. That's
okay.
That's what I know.
No, thank you. I think you look good. I mean, in relation to the staff I'm looking at here.
Thank you.
On paper. I mean, not to say that.
Chair,
you
I hope I'm protected here.
It's not an attack. It's not an attack. This is good stuff.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Maybe just to check on this, are you still a board member of the CETA?
No.
Also, as it is,
as it is, I'm free to move on.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, you did ballroom. You're doing ballroom
and
Latin American
and
now,
Latin,
or
Latin? I do dancing.
You get in samba?
Everything.
I think in order on the board, you're going to have to demonstrate your skills.
Can you give us some few moves? No.
I actually have videos from SABC where I was dancing.
No, no, we don't want to. Can you give us a demonstration of rumba?
Please,
rumba.
Please.
No, you can't do it. And she needs partners when she does that.
So Kalapa, you are veiling yourself.
Yeah, I can.
I didn't know in Robben Island there was a balloon.
My sister, one question. I think you understand what is happening at SABC now. And that part of our effort is we need people who will just, you know, get in there and start rolling, deal with the problems, especially now. But at the same time, we need people who will be strong and tough, because you are going to be confronted by many things there, which they were in the public domain, we know it, because others were unearthed when we had the ad hoc committee inquiry on the SABC here in Parliament. So what I want to know from you, will you really be a credible candidate, defend your integrity, not be intimidated by anyone in doing wrong things, not be used maybe by whether it's political organization, whether it's business, because business interests also are part, or even a non-political organizations, your civil societies organizations, because there are a lot of interests. Will you be able to stand your ground, follow the laws that govern that entity? Because they are there written down, but every time board members do not adhere. So if you can assure me on that, thank you.
The answer is yes.
Honorable Sandan, yes. Do you want to repeat your question?
My question, and then for me, one thing is very important, and then Honorable Ndlozi touched on it. True grit. So the people who would like on the SABC board are strong people, because you're going to be, if you get on, you're going to be appointed during an election. And during election season, the SABC is a difficult terrain. You will be criticized by political parties, perhaps some other political parties will try to influence you. You know, your name will be in the papers, your image will quite likely be tarnished. Then you might have to deal with whatever internal trouble there is, because sometimes on the SABC board there's factions and internal fighting. Then you even have to deal with the organization itself, which is in serious crisis. And such so bad a crisis that they're not sure that they can pay their salaries. So we need people who have backbones of steel, who literally can stand in front of a fire unflinchingly and stare into it. I think people underestimate just how hard it is at SABC board. And then the answer you gave on the vulnerability, you didn't seem to be fully aware of the situation at the SABC. So I want to know whether you are aware of what's going on, what you're getting yourself into. Because it didn't seem like you are. And for me, this is also a do or die question.
do you have what it takes? Or will we be receiving a resignation letter where you're like, I threw the towel in, too much, I don't have time for this, it's just too hard. So I'd like you to convince me that you are going to stay, you are going to fight, and you're going to be independently minded, and you're going to be fearless.
Honorable Van Damme, I must say that for me it's the challenge at the SABC that has made me raise my hand, because I don't want to be a glorified board member where you just go in there and come out for attending the Joy of Jazz or whatever nice times there are. The work that needs to be done at the SABC for me is the challenge. I must say that if I was still at the CETA board, I may not have been here, because wherever I go, I dedicate myself. I'm aware of the challenge of the SABC, not only of the DTT, but also the current situation. And with the support of the portfolio committee and the minister, because it means we are not the only ones that will be running. Everybody has to give us the support. When we cry, don't push us aside and say we'll see you next week. Because we will give it our all, and we will make sure that if we really fail, it's because there was nothing else we could have done. So I cannot say I will fail, but I will try and fail after trying. So for me, if I'm in wholeheartedly, and with the commitment and the desire to save the SABC.
In it to win it.
In it to win it.
The last one, the conversion benefit, especially for the poor rural community.
Right.
How would you reposition the SABC?
Actually, Chairperson and Honorable Van Damme, it is a challenge in South Africa, because our networks in the country are not the same in all areas. The rural area is not only struggling with the broadcasting, but it's also struggling with the cell phone coverage. Now, for us to be able to make a change, it means we have to come up with ways of even building centers in the rural areas, where we would be able to have the community center to be a center for everybody to even come and be able to get education by having the technology in those centers that should be up to standard. And they should be able to even teach the local people in the rural areas on how to make their own story. Because for me, we are moving forward with technology and leaving them behind. We cannot do that in isolation. We have to go to those places where the challenges are. And we have to invest in those places where we have to bring the technology to them. So it's not going to be an easy win, but it has to be done, because whilst we're sitting here enjoying the coverage and all the nice gadgets that we have, they don't have anything. So for us to be able to uplift them, we have to go to them, and that's where we need to put more focus.
Yeah, thank you very much. We really want to thank you for availing yourself to be part of the team that is in this process.
Yeah.
Is there any one question that you have not raised, which you think when your name is put forward to the National Assembly, somebody might flag?
Chair, I want to disclose that one of the reasons why I left CETA and the ICT Sector Council is because, you know, when you work in an environment, you're looking for solutions. And when I joined CETA, at the time, I had a company called Sondela Operation Solutions, which was a company that I opened in 2016, November, after the code was gazetted. the aim for that company was to get the resources, especially the graduates, the newly graduates that cannot find work. If we can absorb them and then talk to the technical companies to say, provide them with training, we will absorb them, we will do the paying and the mentoring, but give them training so that they can be utilized in South Africa and in Africa and anywhere else, but they will have the skills. Now, there was a multinational company that wanted to talk to my company on that issue, and they pushed and pushed from July 2017 up until November, where they said, look, we like what you're saying, we really believe in what you're saying, we'd like to work with you in the company because we believe this is where we can add value. We've got the resources and everything. And then I said to them, I am a board member for CETA, and for us to do any work, we have to be certified as suppliers first. So the only time that we can be certified as suppliers, when you train the graduates, they will be, you'll be training them for something. And that is where now the company said, look, we'd like to work with you. And I said, there's a tender that came out from CETA. It's an RFA, which is a request for application to be certified as a supplier. It doesn't have money. It doesn't say it's how many billions. It doesn't say anything about how much work you'll get. You just need to be certified as a supplier so that when they are looking for hosting, cloud hosting candidates to do a tender, they can send you the request. Now, by me responding to the company, they actually took that to the DTI to say, I am giving them an unsolicited request, and they don't like it because they don't want to be corrupt. It's like I'm being corrupt. So for me, as a leader, I discovered, if you do something and it's untoward, step aside and let the process go on, which is the reason why I handed in my resignation to say, I would rather step down because this is tarnishing my profession. That was not the intention, and you pursued me. When I came with a solution to say, commit yourself, then you went running to say, I'm asking for unsolicited request. So that is the reason I left, and I was quite happy to leave at the time because most of the work that I was there for had already been done. And I also stepped down from the council because I believe that I mustn't tarnish any government organization. So this is why I'm available to work in any other board. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, thank you very much. Thank you for coming forward.
It's a very important conversation because somebody was going to report it. That's it. No, there are two more.
This one and then today they are taking how many?
And Mabatu.
Eight.
Eight. They've been taking it every day.
Yes, so we are at six. Seven.
Yeah. It shows. Shows. In front of you. Yes.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Allow me to welcome the next president, Mr. Shoji. Mr. Shoji, you're welcome. You will sit on just a minute. Maybe let me quickly introduce honorable members, starting with Mr. Galago, the one who's at the door, sitting here. Honorable David, Honorable Saba, Honorable Matoba, Honorable Josie, Honorable Sande, Honorable Sande. Welcome. We are in the process with you. Gets exciting sometimes, the interactions between panel members and candidates, but we still want to limit our interaction to the prescribed time, and so we rely on you as well to assist us by responding in a very pointless manner so that we don't keep on stopping you or stopping the honorable member. So without taking too much time, I will just ask you to briefly introduce yourself to honorable members in terms of your background, whatever, be it educational or experience,